Happy Veterans Day to our veterans. This morning we're going to be in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, and then I want to read 8 through 13. And if you're able to stand, please do so when you get there for the reading of God's Word. It says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And then 8 through 13 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful creation around us, all the living things and all those things that you've placed in this world to care for us and for us to enjoy and to see your glory in. We thank you for all those that you've brought out here this morning to worship you. We pray for those that can't be here with us, that want to be here and have that desire but are unable. We just pray a special closeness with you and them this morning. We especially want to lift up those that don't have a desire to be here today, those that resist you, that run from you, that deny you. We pray that they come to that saving knowledge of Jesus before it's too late. If there are anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, we pray that something is said or done and they would receive him this morning. We ask, Father, you would continue to work in us. Thank you for anointing George and allowing him to teach us. Thank you for anointing the teachers in the back and allowing them to teach the children. I'd ask for your anointing on myself this morning, that I would bring forth your words the way they're intended, that I would deliver your message, that I would not be in my will but in yours. Father, change us, make us closer to you, lead and guide and direct us this morning. Have your will and way among us. Open our hearts and minds that we would receive all that you have for us today. Take it out into this world and apply it to our lives and share it with others. We love and praise and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First off, I want to read you something that I came across years ago. Didn't really have a title. If I was going to title it, I would call it, "I Am a Soldier." But this is what it says. "I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. His holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army and enlisted for eternity. I will either retire at the rapture or be present with the Lord when my course is finished. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I'm faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. When my God calls me, I am there. If he calls me to teach, I will teach. If he calls me to preach, I'll preach. If he calls me to learn, I will learn. Whatever he calls me to do, he can use me because I'm there. I am a soldier. I'm not a celebrity. I don't need to be pampered, petted, or preferred. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, visit me, write me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am submitted. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will have victory. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battle cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell was not made for me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. When my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me and allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in God's army, and I am marching and claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already enlisted. The question is, which part of the service are you in? Active duty, serving 24/7? Or in the reserves when you're called on twice a year, Christmas and Easter? Or guard status, backing up those that are in active service? Or AWOL, absent without the Lord? There's a lot of strong words in that. You know, it says in that we don't need to be catered to, pampered, visited, taken care of. That should be true with all of us, but we should also seek to do those things as soldiers. We should seek to write and talk to and care for others. But it's all about being a soldier, and that's what God's laid on my heart to share with you this morning. We're recruited into God's army. I got to thinking about the I want you in the U.S. Army or for the U.S. Army posters that came out years ago. Maybe World War I they started, or World War II, with the picture of Uncle Sam pointing out, saying he wants us. There were pictures of Rosie the Riveter representing women that were coming and working in the factories and doing things. And the draft for the military was started in 1940. God doesn't draft us. He doesn't make us serve. He offers it. He tells us he wants us. Each one of us is one of those posters. Each one of us should be representing what God wants. God doesn't want to condemn people and tell them that they're horrible people. He wants to point to them and say, I want you. I want you in my army. We volunteer for this army. God doesn't need us. He wants us. And that's so special. We really need to get a hold of that he wants us. That means so much more than needing. When you need something, you use it and you set it aside when you're done with it. God isn't that way. He loves us and he cares about us and he wants us. We are a volunteer in this army, but we still need things. We need to be disciplined. We talked about that this morning. Jesus learned obedience to God. Jesus had to learn obedience. We need to learn obedience. When you go in the military, and I didn't have the privilege to serve, but we have several that have. When you go into the military, you are made a new person. God does that in us. He makes us a new person. But in the military, you learn they're some of the most disciplined, organized individuals that you'll ever meet. They have to be that way. For the Army and the military to function, it has to be a finely tuned machine. And that's what it is. We have to be that way. The Army of God is no different. We have to be able to be those soldiers. We have to be disciplined. If there's no discipline, there's lawlessness. And we just run about doing whatever we want. And that can't be. We follow orders. God is our commander in chief. Jesus is our commander. We have to remember that. Yes, he is our Savior. He loves us. He cares for us. But buddy, he's our Lord. He is our commander. Amen. in Joshua. Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15 says this, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship." There's only one reason God that Joshua would fall on his face and worship is that's God.
Amen.
"And he said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from thy foot, for the place whereon thou stand is holy. And Joshua did so." He did what he was told to do. We are to do what God commands us to do and tells us to do. Yes, we're not going to be perfect at it. But you know what? In the military, when you have a group of men training together, if one of them can't do what needs to be done, they get it fixed. They come together, they build each other up, and he gets trained just like everybody else. It might take a little bit longer, but it happens. We're no different. We're going to endure hardships. We really are. And yes, the Christian life is wonderful and beautiful and great, but we are going to endure some hardships. God just brought this to my attention. I'll turn there and share it with you. In Hebrews 2, verse 10. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus became, he had to learn obedience. He became our perfect leader by suffering. We are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We are going to endure suffering. Joshua endured suffering. But what we got to look at is, we're going to endure those hardships, but God's always going to show up. God's always going to be there. Joshua had his head down, was contemplating something, and he looked up and he saw the presence of God with him. Joshua, you know, you think, we don't know this for sure, but maybe he was contemplating his attack on Jericho. I mean, that is an amazing military defeat, accomplishment, for him to take down the walls of Jericho by blowing a trumpet. He did what God told him to do. You can't say anything's impossible with God. It's not. But Joshua, knowing what he was going to have to go do, just like we do, just like our soldiers do. Yes, they're hardened, trained, disciplined individuals. They still have fear. They still have those times that they struggle. We're no different. But we got to trust God is going to be there with us. And when Joshua was having this difficulty, he looked up and God was there. God is with us each and every day in everything that we face. We're recruited into his army. It's voluntary. We have to remember, he doesn't force us in, but he accepts us in. And once we're in, we're in. But he encourages us each and every day. If you don't see God's encouragement, you're not looking and you're not listening. He encourages us every day. He commands us. You know, yes, we serve a loving God, but he's commander of our lives. That means we have to listen to him. We got to do what he tells us to do. He disciplines us. We discipline our children. God disciplines us, hopefully that we're out of line less. He provides for us everything that we need. He provides, just like we provide for our military. We don't provide for them enough, in my opinion, but we provide for them. We give them what they need. God gives us what we need. God gives us, first of all, he gives us his armor. He does give us the Holy Spirit in us. that strengthens us and fills us and gives us His power in us. But He also gives us His armor. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Not yours, God's might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We don't know how to deal with any of that stuff, but God does. That's why He gives us this armor. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I'll also add 18, "Thank you, Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Our protection is in all that God gives us. He gives us every single thing to be what He intends us to be. We are to go into battle without question. Our military does that. They call them up in the middle of the night and they say, "Hey, jump on a plane, you're going here." They don't say, "Oh, no, not today. You know what, I'll do it tomorrow after breakfast, or you know, after I have lunch." They don't say that. We're not to do that. When God commands us to do something, we should do it without question. And why? Because He gives us the whole armor. He gives us everything needed to protect us in any situation. Wearing this armor and using the armor of God requires training and testing. That's why we go through things. That's why our military does drills. They don't just go and train and then forget about it and go sit somewhere for a while. They're constantly refreshing, constantly enhancing those skills and learning and training. And we're no different. You can't expect to be able to use the Word of God if you aren't in it, if you aren't applying it to your life, if you aren't continually seeking it. And that's, you know, we say, "Well, man, God hadn't answered this for me. I wonder why not." Maybe because you're not praying. Maybe because you're not in the Word. You're not honing yourself and being trained and tested the way you're supposed to be. Saul, the writer of Timothy, he is a perfect example of that. He had to be completely changed. He became a completely new person. He went from Saul to Paul, and he had to go for training. And I've told you that before. It's important that we see that. He was trained for years before he went out and did what God had him to do. We are the same way. We can't just expect to put on this armor and then just go sit there and wait for something to happen. We're to get out there and we're to get nicks in it. We're to stand up and do the things that God has for us to do. Obey the commandments of God. We're to always be ready. And, you know, I'm going to read you a scripture that's familiar with a lot of us. And so many times, I'm even guilty of this. I've only applied this to preachers, and probably because of the way it starts. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Well, because it says preach, I immediately think, wow, that's for preachers. This is for all Christians. All of us are to preach in a manner. We at least share our testimony. We share the truths of God. And we do what this verse says. Be instant. Be ready all the time. You can't be ready like our military's ready if you aren't practicing and praying and doing the things that God has for you to train. We can't do it. Then what are we to do? We're to reprove and rebuke. That means stand up for the truths of God. If something's not correct, you stand up for it and you say, hey, this isn't correct. But then we don't leave it there. We exhort. We offer that peace, that solution. You don't come, you know, in any business, a boss will tell you to come with problems to him. But you know what? You should never go to your boss with a problem without an idea for a solution. We're to go to people and rebuke and exhort them. Show them the truth. Show them where the break is. And then offer the exhortation and exhort them. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Not your own doctrine. The doctrine of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We use this. Long-suffering. There's been many military battles that our soldiers have fought in where they just kept going and kept going. When the odds were stacked against them, they fought and fought and fought with all long-suffering. That's putting yourself aside and sacrificing. And that's what we're to do. That's how we should feel about people that are lost in this world. That we want to, through long-suffering and through rebuke and exhortation, we want to reach them. We want to share the gospel with them and the doctrine of God. We have to be organized, just like our military is organized. Philippians 2, verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. We have to be of one accord. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on every single thing. We all have opinions. God reveals certain things to some of us, and some of us are stubborn and don't see them. Some of us, you know, we're different. But there are the doctrines, the true doctrines of God that we have to represent the truth. We have to be in one accord with that. Our military is in one accord. If they're not, they wouldn't function properly. If you had everybody running, doing their own thing, they would never get anything done the way it's supposed to be done. We have to be of one mind, of one accord. Our enemy is of one accord. Those that serve evil are of one accord. They serve evil, world, self. All of them serve the same thing. Whether, even though it's themselves, they're all serving the same of the same mind. That corrupt mind. The Jews came against Paul in one accord. We have to battle the enemy in one accord. We have to join together. You know, that's, I love the Sunday school convention because it's multiple churches coming together to fight against evil. You say, well, no, we're getting together and hearing preaching and singing. No, we're fighting evil. We're making a stand and joining together and being in one accord and of a one mind. We have to be of that same mind. That takes using the whole armor of God. You can't leave it sitting aside or leave one piece sitting aside and expect to be in one accord or of one mind. It takes all of it. It takes God's armor, not our own. Don't substitute one of your own pieces in there and only use, you know, the ones you think God has intended for you. He gives you the whole armor of God, each and every piece of it. And the one thing that God showed me about this is it's not only for our defense. It's not only for our defense. We're empowered by God. We're given the Holy Spirit. And we're given this armor. That armor is truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. But that's the armor. That's what we say. We say, well, this is the armor. You know, how do I take a shield and fight with a shield? Well, we're to defend people. The same defense that we have from God, we're to go out and use that and help protect other people. Why? Because you know what? Then they're going to see. They're going to say, wow, what is this person doing? They're using this to shield me. What is that they're using to shield me? Oh, it's their faith. Their faith in what? A person? No. Our faith in God. Amen. Our arm, that armor that God gives us is dual purpose. You know, we see it as a defense, as a like a turtle shell for us to hide in and be protected by God. Yes, it is that. But it's also for another purpose. You know, a tank without guns on it is just a vehicle. Just an armored vehicle to carry people around. The armor of God is for us to go out and fight evil. We're protected, but that protection also provides attack. And we take that out into the world and we fight evil with it. We use the word of God. We don't go out and cut people. We go out and share with them what? Truth, righteousness, the word of God, prayer. All these pieces of armor are the weapons that God gives us to fight in this army. We defend the helpless. We truly are to defend the helpless. And our shield protects us, but it's also to protect others so that they can see. If they don't see the protection that you're receiving, if they don't see you standing up in that conflict or that trial, and they don't see you trying to be helpful to them and show them that you're trying to use that same faith, those same tools, that armor of God, if they don't see us trying to use that to reach the world, they're going to think, and we are just setting aside being this way, being selfish, and sitting aside and using all that stuff for ourselves. Just to sit in the corner, hey, I'm fine, I'm protected, God gave me His armor, I'm going to sit right here. No, He gave us that armor so we can go out. So we can go out in that battlefield, be protected, and take that protection to others, those that are lost. We put others before ourselves. That's what we're to do. We put God first and foremost in every single thing, but then we put others before ourselves. Their safety before ourselves. Laying down our life for our brother and our sister. We lay our lives down for each other, willing to take that attack for them. To make them safer than we are. That's what our military does. They go out and they put their safety on the line every single day. Our police officers do that. Nowadays, the paramedics do that. They go into places that are war zones, that nobody cares. It used to be, well, I believe, I wasn't there, but I believe history has taught me that you didn't attack those people. You know, you didn't hurt the people that were helping people because they weren't fighters. They were taking care of those that were hurt. There are no limits today. Paramedics being shot and killed and attacked trying to help people. They put their safety aside for the safety of others. Their salvation. We should be concerned. Stop being so concerned about your salvation. Trust Christ. And then you go out and you try to help somebody with theirs. Help them see it. Put their salvation ahead of your own. That's what Jesus did. He gave Himself completely for us to have salvation. Others' peace. I've said it before. Along with that peace, we should get up every single day wanting everybody else to do better than we're doing. We should want that for people. To truly lift them up and want the best for them. Want better than we have. More protection. More safety. More peace. When we do that, we have all that. We have all the great peace that we need and protection that we need when we're doing and obeying the commandments of God. When we are the soldier that God commands us to be, and that's how we need to look at it. Don't just call yourself a soldier. We're to be the soldier that God calls us to be. He empowers us to be that. He provides for that. He doesn't call you to be anything that He won't make you. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And He calls us to do His will in this world. And every single time, He brings victory. Amen. May not seem like a victory to us, but it's victory. If it's God's will, it's victory. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." God, just like He was with Joshua, He is with us in everything that we face, everything that we endure, everything that we struggle. He's there with us. Joshua, in that scripture this morning, was told to take off his shoes because where he was holy. It wasn't the ground that was holy. What made it holy? The presence of God. So, fast forward to the New Testament. Now, us, the New Covenant, we don't have to go and seek the presence of God. He's with you. Everywhere you go is holy ground. Not because the ground's holy, not because you're holy. You are because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Everywhere we go, God is with us. He's always with us. God's Spirit's with us, and He goes with us every single place we go. We need to remember that. Remember that as a positive, but also remember that when you're going places that you shouldn't go. You're taking the Spirit with you. And if it helps you, get the image of you dragging the Spirit. Like, we got to drag our kids sometimes to school or to the doctor, and use that as an image. Imagine taking your kid to the dentist, and they're hearing the dentist in there working on somebody else, groaning, and the drill's going, and you're trying to drag your child in there into that dentist. That's what we're doing to the Holy Spirit. When we're going places and doing things that we're not supposed to do, we're taking the Holy Spirit in places that He doesn't want to be. Remember that. That's where we start thinking about ourselves, and we say, well, I can take it. I can do this. Well, you know what? You're taking the holy ground of God. You're taking the presence of God with you in those things. So don't do that. But He goes everywhere with us, and everywhere that we step is holy ground. Not because of the ground, but because of the presence of the Spirit with us. We have to remember that we take hope to the hopeless. That's the armor of God in us and with us and His Spirit with us. We're taking hope to those that don't have any hope. It's what our military does. It's what our police officers do. When somebody's in a situation where they're scared and being attacked, the police bring hope to that situation. They bring security and safety to that situation. That's what you're doing when you take the Holy Spirit to somebody that doesn't know God. You're taking them the only hope that they have. We bring holiness to those that aren't holy. We carry the presence of God with us. I can't say it enough. You're carrying the presence of God with you, and you're taking Him to others. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And that's true. Now, you might say, well, I tried to do this thing and I couldn't do it. It's the things of God. Everything that God has for you to do is not impossible with Him. Never quit. Where would we be if our military quit? We saw that in the Iraq War, how many of their military just in droves, when the battle came, they quit because they knew they couldn't win. We know we can win. We have victory already. So don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. God's with you. We don't do it for the pay. That is a a perfect analogy of our military. We know they don't do it for the pay. I don't know any person that I've ever known that joined the military because they were going to become wealthy. They did it because their heart was to serve. Their heart was to serve and protect and help people. We're not to do it for the money. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, Be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Yes, we're going to be rewarded for the things that we do for God, but that's not our motivation. Our motivation is love. We've heard the story of the hireling. The hireling did, you hire somebody to, it's just like babysitters. I thank the Lord for them because parents need them. But a babysitter's not going to treat your child the way you would treat your child. They're not going to care for them like you would. A hireling is doing it for the money. When difficulty comes or trouble comes, they're out of there. We're not to be that way. We're not a hireling. We're doing it because of love. If we truly love and we're vested in God's love and loving others with God's love, then we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up, and we're not going to walk away from a situation. But we're going to be rewarded. In that Gospel of John, we hear about that hireling and not being motivated by money but by love. Our greatest reward, besides our salvation, that's a gift. That's not a reward. That's a gift from God. Our greatest reward is to see others come to know Jesus. Amen. That's the greatest reward that you can receive, is to be part of sharing the gospel and having somebody pulled from the fires to be saved, just like you were. Somebody, when you were saved, got the greatest reward, being part of sharing in that. That's our motivation. That's, yes, we're going to have everything. Everything's going to be perfect in heaven. Streets of gold and beauty everywhere, and the glory of God everywhere. We aren't going to care about those material things and all that gold and all that, because the glory of God is so much better than that. That's what we're going to bask in. That's what we're going to take in and soak in, and for all eternity be enjoying that. We should want other people to share that. We should know that that is our purpose. As a soldier of God, we're to not go out and harm people. We're to harm evil, fight against evil, and save people. That's the greatest thing our military does. Yes, they got to use force a lot of times to get things done. We're no different. We have to forcibly go out there and stand up and make a stand for things. But the battle is against evil. It's not against people. The battle for our military is against evil. It's not against people. It's people persuaded by evil. Our greatest reward is to see others come to salvation. And that's why we're soldiers. That's why God makes us soldiers. That's why I believe that they use that analogy of the soldier, because it's not going to be easy. Being a Christian is not easy. Going out and sharing the truth of the Bible today especially, and it gets harder and worse each and every day, is not going to be easy. We've got to be trained for it. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to have the presence of God with us. We've got to have on that whole armor. And we won't be defeated. We won't. So I'd ask you this morning in closing, are you on duty 24/7? Are you at God's call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Ready to go whenever He calls you, whatever He has for you to do? Or are you only serving on Christmas and Easter? Are you only showing up for those times when you think it's important? You know, how many people could have been saved if somebody listened to God, got up and went to church every day, obeyed God and everything that he had for them to do, and asked his forgiveness when they slipped up, because we're going to, how many people would be saved if we did that? Each and every day, if we showed up. This church, showing up to church and worship, doesn't save people. It doesn't get you to heaven. It's part of our training, part of our discipline, part of renewing that armor in us and making us what God has us to be, to training us to be a soldier. That's why he used that analogy, that example of the soldier. He also uses that of farmers. Farmers' work is never easy. It's usually before dawn, till after dark, hard, hard labor. And that's the same way it's going to be for us. But God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. Or are you AWOL today? Not absence without leave. That's how us in the government have learned it. You're not there and you don't have leave to cover it. The military learns that. But think of it as absence without the Lord. That is so, so important that we let people know, if you're absent without the Lord, you're not going to make it. And you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. Amen. Nobody has to be AWOL. It's a choice. Same as it is in the military. You choose whether you're not going to show up or not. Buddy, I think they'll tell you. You'll answer for it. But don't be absent without the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the blessings of life. And thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your armor that protects us and also enables us to go out and battle the evil of this world. Father, help us to grow and be the Christian soldiers that you intend us to be. Lead and guide and direct us. Help us to realize when we slip up and to come to you and ask you to remove it from us. Help us to reprove and rebuke and also to exhort. Help us to have long suffering like you do with us. I make so many mistakes, but you're long suffering and you continue to mold me and shape me. You do that with all of us here. Help us be the same way to others. Help us show love above everything else. Help us put you first and others before ourselves. Lead and guide and direct us in all that we do. Give us the words. Mold us and shape us into what you would have us to be. We love and praise and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.